round in little circles, flipping off President Obama. Okay, I'm making that up. But actually, I'm saying that because, you know, I really don't care if the Russians are defiant. What I care about is whether the U.S. will provoke some sort of conflict or risk a conflict. And I find that really, really irritating. I remember when I first got into radio, I worked at a radio station in Lubbock, Texas. And in Lubbock, well, you know, that was one of the more amusing things to do, that and take college classes. And there was, I remember, a packet that was not to be opened, a packet that was to be opened only in case of nuclear war. This is present in all radio stations. This is 1982, I think. And the Reagan administration was in office, and they were provoking the Russians. And they were provoking the Russians in the Black Sea, come to think of it. And I remember that at some point, U.S. sailors were lining up on the sides of their destroyers, battleships, whatever, and actually flipping off Russians and mooning them and this sort of thing. And this was during, of course, the USSR-US Cold War. And the idea was that they would intimidate the Russians. And if they were risking thermonuclear war, then, well, what the hell? I mean, who cares about the little folk? This is what I hated about Reagan. One of the things, I guess, I mean, he had 110 indicted appointees. People think that Reagan was a great president. It depends on what you think he was great in, I suppose. But that was one of the things I really just couldn't stand, is that he would risk nuclear war just to bully the Russians. And actually, if you look it up, you can actually find a video on YouTube taken from a Russian ship that shows that they actually rammed a U.S. ship to get it out of their territorial waters. That's how bad it got. At some point, there were whiskey-class subs in the Gulf of Mexico. So I ripped that packet open at the radio station, and I read the evacuation orders, which were utterly silly, considering that there was no way to evacuate Lubbock in the 4 minutes or 7 minutes that it would take to launch a nuclear missile from the whiskey-class subs that were in the Gulf of Mexico at the time. And now we've got Obama doing the same sort of thing. Well, this show is dedicated to the irrepressible Medea Benjamin, who survived an Obama administration-coordinated beating at the hands of the Egyptian military earlier this year. Medea Benjamin fights on for Code Pink and against American imperialism, and a broken arm and a dislocated shoulder isn't enough to stop her. There are lots more of us where she came from, President Obama. Reading between the lines of Fukushima Diary, it would appear that underground water streams at the nuclear power complex, or the remains, I guess, of the nuclear power complex, are washing the melted nuclear cores, which have sunk into the ground, back and forth with the tides. This explains why nuclear contamination was found upstream, underground and upstream, of Fukushima Daiichi. The result is a continuing and catastrophic contamination of the bay and the Pacific Ocean. I could quote the specific numbers. They're in the billions of becquerels per cubic meter. But at this point, I think probably the best way to report it is just to say that the poisoning is continuing. At this time, the first minute traces of seafloor spread radiation, that radiation that has been slowly coming this way for years from Fukushima, should be reaching the beach in Oregon. And actually, very minute traces have been detected. Forbes magazine is trying to make a big deal about how small the traces are. And right now, of course, they are small because they are the first atoms to come across as the deadly crap spreads under the sea. And Forbes is, of course, dedicated, as always, to the profits of the nuclear industry at the expense of you. The U.S. government, meanwhile, refuses to measure the poison, so Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute desperately tries to take up the slack with volunteer monitors. Meanwhile, the jury-rigged decontamination system at Fukushima has failed. The temperature in the ruined containments is rising as repairs are attempted, and U.S. sailors from the USS Ronald Reagan are suing Tokyo Electric for their horrifying nuclear radiation contamination sickness. As you may have heard on Democracy Now!, the Center for Food Safety in Hong Kong announced the following contamination warning for Japanese tea products. There are four of them. First one, summer harvested Konacha Tokuju tea leaves, Place of origin, Shizuoka Prefecture, Japan. Packing size 100 grams. Best before date is February 19th, 2016. Second one, spring harvested Sencha Saijo tea leaves. 100 grams. Same location. Best before date is February 19th, 2016. Third one, Tsuboichi tea leaves from Osaka Prefecture. 100 grams. Best before date is marked as January 28th. Fourth one, Yamakayan Japanese green tea bags. These are 80 by 5 grams. Best before date on the package is February 15th, 2016. The product samples were collected at the import level for radiation testing. Today, the test results show that radioactive substances cesium-134 between 9 and 18 becquerels per kilogram and cesium-137 between 14 and 48 becquerels per kilogram were detected. And you can find the details at seventhspace.com. So don't consume those products. If you do consume those products, you will be risking what is called Chernobyl heart, as the cesium collects in your heart, and of course other, and of course they have strontium in them as well, but they measured the cesium. And right now, according to my Geiger counter, which is a GMC 300 from GQ Electronics, the counts per minute in the KBOO studios are about 19. And I like to measure right here in the studio. Here's the ticking Geiger counter because, after all, we track stuff in here all the time. From theguardian.co.uk, the world is at growing risk of abrupt, unpredictable, and potentially irreversible changes because of a warming climate. That's according to America's premier scientific society. They warned on Tuesday in a rare intervention into a policy debate. The American Association for the Advancement of Science urged Americans to swiftly reduce greenhouse gas emissions and lower the risks of leaving a climate catastrophe for future generations. Quote, as scientists, it is not our role to tell people what they should do, the AAAS said in a new report. And the report is called What We Know, and they said, but we consider it our responsibility as professionals to ensure to the best of our ability that people understand that what we know, that people understand what we know. Human-caused climate change is happening. We face risks of abrupt, unpredictable, and potentially irreversible changes, and responding now will lower the risks and costs of taking action, end quote. Now, I want to comment on that information. It's not possible to reduce the climate change over the time period that it needs to be reduced, which is instantly and now, by taking personal actions. This is not on your head. It's certainly a good thing to bicycle around. I'm a little stiff today from bicycling, actually. I've been trying. that's not going to do it, because although taking individual actions can produce change over the long term, right now we need an instantaneous reversal of policy. And so I, once again, would like to draw your attention to the fact that in the days after September 11th, 2011, commercial air flights were shut down over the U.S., thereby stopping the contrail production day and night. Temperatures that I was going to say were measured, but actually are always measured, temperatures are still on the record responding to that change in air traffic. The change was, during the day, aircraft contrails reflect heat into space and reduce daytime temperatures. Keep that in mind. At night, airplane contrails reflect heat back into the climate and increase nighttime temperatures. The obvious corollary, stop aircraft contrail production at night, allowing the planet to dump its heat into space. Simple, easy, collective action, extremely difficult, takes on the petroleum industry and the airline industry. I don't care. The hell with them. The hell with them. This is my planet. What do you think? Number to call 503-231-8187. Climate action now. Returning to the article, the United Nations Climate Science Panel, the IPCC, will gather in Yokohama, Japan next week to release the second in a series of blockbuster reports, this time outlining how a changing climate is affecting rainfall and heat waves, sea level in the oceans, fisheries, and food security. But the AAAS scientists say they were releasing their own assessment ahead of time because they were concerned that Americans still failed to appreciate the gravity of climate change. By the way, I've just got a note that at 9:30 today, we'll be hearing a special live broadcast of KBOO's Persian Hour. This is the first day of spring, and the host will be celebrating the Persian New Year at the exact moment spring begins at 9:57. So that should be a hoot and a holler. And all you have to do is just keep that dial and that volume knob right where it is. Okay, volume button, most likely. Volume, mouse controlled. Okay, whatever. You're listening to KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. This is Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know. Despite overwhelming evidence, the AAAS said Americans had failed to appreciate the seriousness of risks posed by climate change and had yet to mobilize the pace and scale needed to avoid a climate catastrophe. Now, there's more on that article at The Guardian, but I want to talk about some information that is backing that up. And this has to do with the thermohaline circulation, and that's thermo as in a thermos, and haline as in salty, H-A-L-I-N-E, like a halide lamp that makes a salt glow. Thermohaline, I want you to look that up. Thermohaline conveyor is what I want to talk about. An international team of scientists has discovered that the circulation pattern of deep water in the North Atlantic may be more fragile than previously thought due to a rapid addition of fresh water to the ocean's surface waters. Their paper has been published in the online edition of the journal Science. You know, science. Science can be helpful. Now, before I go further into this article, I want to remind you of those maps that you saw last year that showed Greenland melting. Remember, it was kind of red all over Greenland, and people misunderstood and thought that the entire overburden of ice had melted. That's impossible. And actually, you know, an inch or something like that had melted. But that's a hell of a lot of water. And, of course, you have to ask yourself, where did it go? Well, it went into the ocean. And the thermohaline circulation is production of cold salt water. One way to look at it is production of cold salt water, which is more dense than other water, is produced closer to the poles, off Greenland, for example. And that water sinks and produces a current that a really giant river of water, bigger than the Amazon, that circulates down into the tropics. It has the effect of cooling the tropics, and it circulates back. It warms up. It loses its salt. It's a big loop, and it comes back to, oh, let's say, the east coast of the United States and west coast of Britain and Europe, and brings that warm tropic water up, the result being that in the winter, Britain doesn't ice over. And in the summer, the tropics don't have 130, 140 degree heat. Well, now that circulation screwed up because, as I was saying, that red patch that you saw over Greenland was freshwater dumping into the ocean, messing up the circulation, the thermohaline circulation. Now, returning to the article, this is from NewJerseyNewsroom.com. by Ken Branson. He wrote, scientists believe changes in the circulation called thermohaline circulation may dramatically accelerate global climate change. The formation, this is a quotation, the formation of deep water exerts a large influence on the temperature difference between the Arctic and the equator. That's according to Yair Rosenthal, professor of marine science in Rutgers School of Environmental and Biological Sciences and a co-author of a paper. He said it also influences atmospheric circulation and affects the major climate systems of the far northern hemisphere. In the past, such changes have been implicated in changing precipitation patterns near the equator, and that can mean longer, more severe droughts in places like Africa's Sahel. And departing from the text, as I was saying, it also means that the East Coast and Britain can freeze up during the winter, that these winters can be more harsh. And if this pattern continues, they get harsher and harsher. And of course, with the rapid change, the storms get more fierce. Number to call with your comments, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Despite my unusual call, actually, I haven't seen that anywhere else, and I don't know why not. But despite my unusual prescription, I would like to know what you think about immediately changing the warming of the planet, climate change. I think that other things that we could do immediately would be to restrict beef production. Now, that would raise the cost of beef considerably. Too bad for me. I really like beef. But, you know, so what? And another thing that could be done, and again, this is a collective action, would be to restrict and reduce and remove automobile movement by changing workplaces, moving workplaces out to where people are, moving people to where workplaces are, and just eliminating that daily commute as much as possible, because that's a big part of global warming as well. And it was never natural or necessary that we should all have individual gas-burning automobiles solely for the purpose of surviving in less expensive real estate. I mean, that's what it comes down to. You can't afford to live. I mean, well, for example, would you like to live in downtown Portland? Well, you can't. A few can, but the fact is, New York investors who have millions of dollars own that property, and they're not going to lower the rent so that you can live there. However, if we take collective action, we can force them. And I believe that it's time to do some forcing. This is why I'm calling for revolution. And when I say revolution, I mean revolution. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Returning to the article. The deep water formation can be disrupted by freshening of regional surface water. You recall I was talking about Greenland, which might happen under increased precipitation and the melting of glaciers and reduction of polar ice caps. Eric Gelassen, a graduate student at University of Bergen in Norway, is the lead author of the paper. Is referring to the other members of the team are named Ninevin, Cleven, Irvali, Rosenthal. Explains that surface water in the far North Atlantic becomes colder and denser in the wintertime, sinks to the bottom, circulates all through the North and South Atlantic, finds its way to the Southern Ocean, and then to the Indian and Pacific Oceans. Eventually, the water that sank to the bottom of the North Atlantic rises towards the surface, and other parts of the world is still relatively cold and rich in nutrients. Scientists have thought, well, and that's the other aspect of this, is that this affects sea life. Scientists had thought thermohaline circulation was stable during periods between ice ages, but Rosenthal and his co-authors suggest that was not the case 125,000 years ago during the last interglacial period. At that time, he wrote, there was a series of sudden large reductions in the influence of these North Atlantic waters into the deep ocean. These deep water reductions occurred repeatedly, each lasting for some centuries before bouncing back, and they found this out by, if I can just summarize, they dug up single-celled bottom-dwelling animals and measured them in their sedimentary layers and discovered that this happened. This is Press Watch. You're listening to KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. News you're not supposed to know. Economic crash possible. The Baltic Dry Index is at 1518, down 31% from its dismal peak earlier this year. It's still crawling around in post-crash territory. You can look that up by looking up the Baltic Dry Index. Now, what is it? It's a measurement of shipping of things like iron and coal. And it's, you know, the economy is just dirt at this point. And what we are doing is living in a hangover that is artificially produced by U.S. imperialism, basically. But Kitco.com says that some market watchers are wondering if Russia is moving funds out of the U.S. Treasury bond holdings into other accounts that would be able to access, and it would be able to access in case economic sanctions are imposed over the current Ukrainian crisis. Moving $1 billion is serious business, and this situation remains on edge. Seeking Alpha blog was warning of a stock crash next week due to uncertainties produced by the reannexation of Crimea. Ralph Nader wrote in counterpunch.org, Wall Street's big banks and their financial networks that collapsed the U.S. economy in 2008 and 2009 were saved with huge bailouts by the taxpayers. But these Wall Street gamblers are still paid huge money and are again creeping towards reckless misbehavior. Their corporate crime strip mined the economy for young workers, threw them on the unemployment rolls, and helped make possible a low-wage economy that is draining away their ability to afford basic housing goods and services. That's Ralph Nader writing in counterpunch.org. And someone has just called with claiming the name Dr. Fix-It. Okay, Dr. Fix-It, you're on the air. What's up?
Okay, here's what I was thinking, Teresa, is that things are very dire indeed, and I think we need to be real careful and pay attention to two things: who we are inside of these bodies, and then also, have you ever heard of Maurice Cotterell?
I have not.
Oh, future science of the 21st century. He's written some books on Mayan stuff as well, but I don't have the technology access. Maybe what you can do for the listeners is take a look at that and see if some of this Earth changes is something big that was basically foretold and maybe witnessed over a very long time.
I would call that...
So it's Maurice and it's Cotterell, C-O-T-T-R-E-L-L.
Well, what do you think about the thermohaline circulation?
Well, when the drilling took place in the Gulf of Mexico, BP, uh-huh. who, by the way, I understand just recently got an okay to come back in. They're off their, they're off their little naughty period, and they're allowed to come back in and start drilling around here again. But anyway, when that big spill thing happened, and I remind people, look at a container of engine oil, and one of the things that they profess is that this protects your engine because of the thermal barrier that it creates. So I heard a bit when the Gulf thing happened, the scientists were saying, well, there was so much of this junk out there, this filth, that it created a thermal barrier and changed the Gulf Stream. And then so that may have been one big part of what has set into motion, you know, a lot of this stuff. But I think we might, Teresa, we might find, if you'll look this up and see what this fellow has to say, and there are others also, but this is about things that are probably much bigger, you know, that have to
bigger
do
than
with.
What?
Well, who we are inside of these bodies. You know, this whole talk about climate change and global warming and so on, with the earthquakes and the volcanoes and stuff happening like it is. So
you're saying it's just fate? Foretold,
oh, no,
you say?
No, I'm kind of thinking along the lines that humanity has been around for a very long time, and a lot of it isn't clear, and then it's to some people's advantage, as we all know.
You know, I've run up against the time barrier. I'm very sorry now and yeah. To have to cut you off, but I appreciate you calling in.
Check them out, if you would, please, and let us know. Thank you.
You've been listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. And stay tuned, because at 9:30, just a couple of minutes from now, there's a special live broadcast of KBOO's Persian Hour as the hosts celebrate the Persian New Year at the exact moment spring begins at 9:57. Shout out to Lynn. Happy birthday. And I'll be back at this time next week. And all the ships at sea.
Is your radio dial on Thursday afternoons from noon until 2. 90.7 FM is the place to be. Twice a month, DJ Charlie presents the World Beat Connection with the hottest Afro-Caribbean sounds in Portland radio land. Reggae, salsa, soca, New Orleans Afro-funk, Haitian compa and rara, and Antillean zouk share the airwaves with African high life, Afrobeat, Congolese soukous, Malian blues, juju, and South African kwaito, among the other great styles. Traditional and modern expressions are all included. On alternate weeks, check out Top Rank in Reggae and Dancehall with Shocks to Sheba Show, hosted by Teresa and Michelle.
Good morning and welcome to the special Persian Hour Nowruz, or the Iranians' New Year programming. Persian Hour's regular programming is on Sundays at 11 a.m. Special thanks to Cable Management for making today's show possible. You can also catch our show on 91.9 FM in Hood River, 100.7 FM in Willamette Valley, and on the web at kboo.fm. Welcome to the special Persian Hour Nowruz Iranian New Year programming.
شنوندگان عزیز صبح شما بخیر. من داوود فاتحی هستم به همراه دوست و همکار بسیار عزیز و گرامی سالهای دراز و طولانیم بهرام بهمنیار، مستر بهرام بهمنیار، دیر بهرام بهمنیار در خدمت شما هستیم. امروز روز 20 ماه مارس هست و اولین روز برای اولین ساعات نوروزی برای سال 1393. امیدوار هستیم با تمام قلبمون که سالی بسیار خوش، پر از سلامتی، سعادت، خوشحالی، موفقیت و کامرانی برای شما همگان باشد. سالی که در اون خنده بر لبهایتان بنشیند و غم راهی نداشته باشد جز دوری و گریز از شما. بهرام عزیز صبح شما بخیر، دوست بسیار عزیز سالیان دراز.
داوود جان عزیز با درود و شادباشهای نوروزی خدمت دوست گرامم و تمام شنوندگان نازنینمون در اقصا نقاط جهان که صدای ما را در پورتلند از طریق 90.7 FM یا روی kboo.fm میشنوند، با آرزوهای صمیمانه امیدوارم واقعا سال جدید 1393 داوود جان سالی باشه پر از شادی و لبخند روی لبها و البته همیشه سلامت کامل، برای اینکه هیچی جای اون رو نمیگیره. اول که سلامت اومد، بعدم دیگه آدم قبراغ تو هوای گرم و سرد و بارونی و اینا، خلاصه ما میریم جلو دیگه داوود جان. شنوندگان عزیز، سال تحویل همونجور که اطلاع دارین دقیقا در ساعت 9:57 دقیقه و 7 ثانیه اتفاق خواهد افتاد. شماره تلفن استودیو 503-231-8187. ما در انتظار شنیدن صدای گرم شما عزیزان هستیم. هر موقعی در طول این یک ساعت آینده تا دهونی من و داوود در اینجا هستیم، به ما زنگ بزنیم که با هم صحبت کنیم.
آقای بهرام، امروز بر اساس تقویم های
نگو باز فارمرز آن منکا
نه 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 نه
بلکه فارمرز ها هیچی راجع به عید ما نگفتن. من یه ذره ناراحتم.
ایغوری، تقویم های قدیم، امسال سال اسب هست. سالی هست که اسب نشانه سلامت هست. سلامت.
آره آره،
برازندگی، دوندگی. سالی هست که من شما باید بودیم همش، چون سال سال
مثل اسب. من رو تو که در صورت هر سال مثل اسب که داریم میدونیم دیگه.
اسب حیوان زیباییست،
بسیار زیبا،
بسیار زیبا
و نجیب
و نجیب. این برای ما مردم ایران هم هست که مردمان نجیبی هستیم. شنوندگان عزیز، خودتون آماده کنید برای لحظه سال تحویل با دل خوش، با روح سرشار از لطافت و شور. لحظه ای هستش که باید در اون چرا که ما رو متاثر کرده، متاسف کرده، کنار بگذاریم، هرچی که هست، هرچی که بوده، و فکر کنیم فقط با امید به روزهای بهتر، روزهای فراوان بهتر، حداقل 365 روز بهتر فکر بکنیم که زمان زمان اندیشیدن به چیزهای خوب هست، زمان زمان دوست داشتن هست، زمان زمان فراموش کردن کینه ها، نفرت ها، دوست نداشتن ها. و این یک لطف بزرگ نوروزی هست که وقتی که می آید فقط شور و نشاط و لطافت می آورد. یک بیت شعر هم برای شما بخونم. می گوید: پیک نوروز از دیار کهن خبر آورده، پیک خورشید از دیار کهن خبر آورده، ماه نوروز است، دامن کوه سرخ و سبز و سپید، یاد یک پرچم دلفروز است.
به
آرزوی خوشی برای تمام هموطنانمون در ایران، منتظر این هستیم که شما فعلا که فرصت داریم تلفن بزنید و این سال نو رو به دوستانتون، به اقوامتون، به همه ایرانی ها تبریک بگویید و با ما مشارکت کنید در اجرای این برنامه. آقای بهرام، آهنگ رو شما برو
داره بالا. میره داره میره آهنگ امروز تا ساعت 10:30 همین جور ادامه داره و همونجوری که خودت گفتی دابو جان، واقعا من امیدوارم که شنوندگان عزیز محبت کنن تلفن بزنن که با ما هم صدا باشن. به تمام دوستان و همشهریانمون در پورتلند، هومه، ونکوور، لب دریای اقیانوس اورگان و تمام کرانه های ساحلی مازندران.